discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell.
H.K. Derryberry was born blind, with cerebral palsy and paralysis of his right side. Raised by his grandmother, H.K.'s life changed forever in 1999. At age 9, H.K. met Jim Bradford, a local businessman, and together they began a father-son journey that transformed both their lives. Today, H.K. is an accomplished equestrian, alpine snow skier, airplane pilot, boat captain, and motivational speaker. As if that was not extraordinary enough, he's one of only a handful of people worldwide diagnosed with highly superior autobiographical memory. This amazing young man has total recall of his every life event since he was 3.5 years old. And today, we'll meet both members of this dynamic duo as we welcome Mr. Jim Bradford and H.K. Derryberry on the road. Gentlemen, a great day to you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure.
Absolutely. Jim, as we set out on this story, let's talk a little bit about the man that you were before you met HK. You were a successful business guy in a neighborhood that you've said Barney Fife would have been comfortable patrolling, right?
Well, that is correct. We live in an area of in Brentwood, which is south of Nashville, and it is just a great, at one time, a bedroom community, a low crime rate. We live in a neighborhood where women stroll their babies in strollers, and people walk and jog, and animals are on leashes, and very few cars, so it's just it has been always a crime-free area, and basically you might refer to it as Mayberry, a little bit more upscale a few years later.
And you were a successful guy. You were in the fashion industry and various efforts. You were a comfortable guy living a life that was pretty good, right?
Well, yes. We've been very blessed in our life, my wife and I. And we have two grown daughters who were both out of college and had left home. And so we were, after paying all the expenses and tuitions and things like that, we were kind of at a point in our lives 17 years ago that we'd start probably doing more trips and things. We'd kind of delayed till the girls were out of school. And that's kind of where we were living, the all-American type life. We were very happy, not wealthy, but certainly middle to upper middle income, and just enjoyed our lives very much.
So take us back then to that brisk October morning when you headed into Mrs. Winter's Chicken and Biscuits looking for a coffee, and your eyes take in a young man with a generously duct-taped boombox.
Probably our first cold weekend of October. Being in Tennessee is a little bit, south, and our cold weather typically didn't begin until late November, December. But it's kind of cool this morning, that morning, and I had played tennis, and I was on my way actually to buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, which is about a mile away from where I actually eventually bought the coffee. But as I was driving down the highway, for some reason, I saw the sign for Mrs. Winter's Chicken and Biscuits, and I tell people today that God was my GPS that morning, because I had no intention of going in and buying a cup of coffee at a chicken restaurant, but I did. I turned in and went in and bought the coffee, and as I was about to leave, I saw a little boy sitting at a table, and I probably wouldn't have stopped or thought anything about it except a cold morning. He had on shorts and a little white T-shirt that had food stains on the front of it and had braces on both legs. And I just knew that something probably was wrong with him. And I asked one of the ladies that worked in the restaurant who he was, and she told me. And in the course of the conversation, she mentioned that he was blind and also had to sit at this table every morning or every day, Saturday and Sunday, for 9 hours each day. Mm. And anyway, I was kind of surprised. And then she told me he was blind, and it touched me like I had never really been touched before, and I'd seen people with disabilities, children with disabilities, but in the past I was probably compassionate, but I basically had pity for them, felt sorry for them, but really never stopped to talk to them. Mm. And I just saw this cute little kid that was blind and had the braces on his feet, and I went over and introduced myself, and he couldn't carry on a logical conversation at the time, and he could ask me 1,000 questions, but he couldn't answer logically any of the questions that, I asked him. And so after about maybe 5 minutes of being what I thought was interrogated, but because he just kept asking, what'd you do next, what'd you do next, I told him that I had some things to do for my wife and I had to leave. And he said, well, I hope I get to meet you again, too. And I said, me too. And I didn't realize that commitment I just made would be here we are 17 years later, and now he's kind of like the son that I never had. And that's the way that, you know, that's the way the meeting started. And then eventually I started going back to the restaurant on weekends. And if he was there on Saturday, I would go in and sit with him. And we'd spend usually up to an hour talking. And then some Sunday afternoons after church, I'd go back. And if his grandmother was working that day and I saw him in the through the window, if I saw his little silhouette, I'd go in and spend another hour with him. And so that's the way the relationship began.
We're talking with Jim Bradford and H.K. Derryberry, the dynamic duo at the heart of The Awakening of H.K. Derryberry, My Unlikely Friendship with the Boy Who Remembers Everything. H.K. was born blind with cerebral palsy, multiple other issues, yet he has unlocked the extraordinary gift of his memory. You can count on 2 hands the people in the world who share his diagnosis of superior autobiographical memory as we're here on the road. You know, HK, you've said that what was different about Jim than others who'd been in your life was that he stayed with you. Why was that so important to you?
Mr. Bradford, always, he kept coming back. That was special to me. That morning of Saturday, October 16th, 99, was 53 agreed that day, and my grandma and I got ready, went to Miss Winters, got there around 8:30. She was clocking in at 9, and she was gonna, after she clocked in, I sat at a table listening to my radio, and around 10:45, Mr. Bradford come in and introduced himself, and I just knew that he was going to be a really good friend from then on.
And now, Jim, I understand that as you continued hanging out with HK, you started to glimpse this incredible memory that he has. How did that first start to show itself?
I had actually known him for 2 years, really, and didn't realize he had the memory. We were at church one Sunday, and I had picked him up on the second level, second floor of our church, and we had come down to go to worship in the main sanctuary. And as we were walking down the hallway, 2 men were talking, and personally, I didn't hear them. But HK stopped abruptly and said, "Mr. Bradford, who said the meeting is on Thursday the 9th?" And I said, "What are you talking about, HK?" He said, "I heard somebody talking about a meeting on Thursday, but Thursday is the 11th, not the 9th." Well, he stopped, and so I looked to my left, and a couple of gentlemen that were friends of mine, older than me, but a couple of friends, were talking, and I said, "Pardon me," I said, "are y'all talking about a meeting on Thursday night?" And Mac Lynn said, "Well, yes, we are." And I said, "Well, HK's got something to tell you." And HK said, "Mac," said, "the meeting you've got on Thursday night is on the 11th. It's not the 9th. I believe you said the 9th. The Tuesday's the 9th. Well, Mac pulls out his little palm pilot out of his pocket, jacket pocket, and kind of scrolls down. He said, "Well, HK, you're exactly right. It is the 11th. He said, "How did you know that?" And HK said, "Well, I just know." And he said, "Well, that's a good trick." And HK kind of jerked on my hand, and we walked away and went to worship. And after worship, we were in the car, and I said, "HK, how did you know the date was the 11th rather than the 9th? He said, "Well, I know dates." I said, "What do you mean you know dates?" He said, "Well, my grandmother says I have a gift." And I said, "Well, what can you do?" He said, "Well, if you'll tell me the day of your birthday," which I said was June 17th, he said, "I'll tell you the day of the week that of your next birthday." I said, "June 17th. He said, "Thursday." And he said, "Last year it was on Tuesday." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "No." Well, I looked it up later on a calendar, and sure enough, he was right. And I said, well, HK, I said, I didn't know you had that ability. He said, my granny says I have a gift. I said, well, you'd never told me. He said, you'd never asked me. And so anyway, I thought I was impressed with that. And so all my friends and I would say, come here. I said, Bill, come over. HK, tell give HK your birthday. And then Bill would say, well, I'm February the 14th. He said, well, this year your birthday is going to be on maybe a Tuesday. Last year it was on this date. Next year it will be on this date. Well, it just impressed people. And so it wasn't too long that I said, HK, I said, what if I gave you the year that I was born? Could you also tell me the day of the week I was born? He said, yes. So I gave him my year, and he gave me the date that I was born, and I checked it on my phone, and sure enough, he was exactly right. So that's the way I learned it, and eventually, you know, every time, and he found that impressed people as well. So it got to the point that any time that he met somebody, he would say, for example, hi, Ryan, I'm HK. Have I met you before? No, HK, we haven't met. He'd say, well, when's your birthday? And then he will tell you the day of the week that you were born and anything that would be newsworthy that he knows of or has heard of on that same date. Well, that's pretty impressive. So the women especially just, HK, you are the smartest born. Well, he quickly, very smart. He quickly picked up on that. And it wasn't too long after that that he began, any time he introduced himself, he would just say, if I met you before, when is your birthday? And so that's the way it started. And then a couple of years ago, Vanderbilt University heard about him, and they're in their medical center. They have a memory clinic, and they did an in-depth study on HK, on his brain and his memory. And he's still a case study for them. They're hoping maybe from studying HK's memory and his brain that they can learn something that might eventually assist in the cure or maybe improvement of people with Alzheimer's. So it's kind of rare. There's just a handful of people we know of in the world that has this. And so it's just that's the way it started.
Hey, HK, do you think we could do that now? If I told you that my birthday was November 1st, could you tell me something about November 1st? November the 1st, 1985.
You were born on a Friday, and on your birthday, this past year was a week before Election Day, and that day last year I spoke to at Lipscomb University. In Allen Arena.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
And also, that day in 2015, State Senator Fred Thompson died that day.
Wow, that's amazing. As we talk with Jim Bradford and H.K. Derryberry, the dynamic duo at the heart of the awakening of H.K. Derryberry here on the road. And HK, as Jim just explained, you've been diagnosed with superior autobiographical memory. As he said, you can count on two hands the number of people who have that. What does it feel like, HK, to be able to remember things so much better than the rest of us? I mean, that must be pretty fun, huh?
Yeah, it's a blessing, because as Mr. Bradford said, Vanderbilt has been doing a study on my brain, and they are hoping that it will help find a cure for Alzheimer's. Mm. They think it might be called the Derryberry Cure for Alzheimer's.
You, sir, you have this incredible list of accomplishments and hobbies. You got skiing, you got boating, operating planes. Talk a little bit about some of your favorite things to do, HK, and how you're able to overcome your visual impairment when you do something like alpine skiing.
Well, I like skiing. I love riding horses at Paradise Ranch in Springfield, Tennessee, which Michelle Lynn Snyder owns that place. She's one of the best owners of a therapeutic riding place in the world. But I overcome my disabilities in skiing and driving a boat by verbal commands. I mean, on the slopes, the instructors just say, okay, here's your was left turn, turn left, and then turn right, a ghost race, like on Mr. Bradford's boat. He don't sit by me. He sits in the seat 3 or 4 feet away from me.
Okay.
He gives me verbal command. I have figured out on the steering wheel which way to keep it, what the position is, and when it's straight. And so,
wow.
He just instructs me, telling me, turn left, turn right, stay straight. It's just lots of fun.
Oh, it sounds like fun. You know, one of the things that that makes me think of, HK, I think for many of us, when we encounter tough times in life, we turn around and we walk back the way we came from. We give up. But what's given you the ability to keep going on tough days and to keep trying when you might want to quit?
Well, I've just realized that I've learned to determine my capabilities, and I realize the only disability any of us have in life is a negative attitude. So I'm always positive.
That's a great word. Thank you for that, sir. As we talk with Jim Bradford and H.K. Derryberry, the dynamic duo at the heart of the awakening of H.K. Derryberry here on the road. And, you know, Jim, you've reflected on that morning and just a few moments ago that took you to Mrs. Winter's Chicken and Biscuits and said that you believe that God acted as your GPS that morning. I wonder, from the perspective of all of these years of friendship now with HK, how has God used HK to show you more about himself and to strengthen your faith?
Well, as you probably, Ryan, probably already surmised just from the brief conversation, he's an amazing young person. I don't think we've covered this. This is covered in the book. And the book is, even though I wrote it, and I don't mean this boastful, it is just a very, very inspiring book. All the people that are reading the book, that's giving us feedback, that's making comments on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, the comments are things like, I could not stop reading the book. If you're going to read it, make sure you have a meal before you start. I had a box of Kleenex because I was laughing, I was crying. It has truly changed my life. It's shown me a different perspective on people with disabilities. So he is truly remarkable in those things. And I think I may have mentioned, up until meeting HK, when I saw someone with a disability, not that I was supposed to say something to them. I didn't know what I was supposed to say if I did, but
yeah.
I basically just kind of went on about my business. But that morning I saw HK, I was just committed to going over and introducing myself, and then for some reason, and I know it was God, I kept going back, and pretty soon HK is he's just a special person. And the things that have probably, I guess, changed me most is, one, is I have a different perspective today of families and caretakers of people with disabilities. Because with HK, there's so many things he can do, but there's a lot of things he cannot do for himself. And so if you're with him, you have to help him do those things. And, for example, when I first started he's been spending weekends with my wife now for 15 years. He's been going to church with us for 16 years. But when we first started that relationship, if he was spending time at my house, every morning that I would pick him up at his grandmother's house or at Mrs. Winter's, she would give me the medical kit, a breathing device, and I had, you know, 4 or 5 things I'd go out and put in my car, because he had to have medications 4 times a day. He had to have breathing treatments 4 times a day. He has asthma. Wintertime, it gets kind of bad. And he also had to have eye drops or eye gel put into his eyes to moisten his eyes. He's blind, but he still has to keep his eyes moist. And it's pretty demanding.
Sure.
Then he can't dress himself. There's a number of things he can't do. If you saw him today, he's got on this great polo red sweater with a mock turtleneck and khaki slacks, and he just looks like $5 million and your typical young man. But, you know, when we get home, if we need to change clothes, I have to assist him taking them off and putting the others on, and just a lot he can't do. But anyway, I have gained a lot of patience because I just, after 17 years, I never think about him being having a disability. It's just something that I do. And I really appreciate his grandmother because he's lived with his father's mother for 26 years, and she's about my age. And whether she's in, probably not in quite as good a health as I'm in, but I just know for her that it's every day isn't always roses. It's you know, some days I can just imagine she doesn't feel like doing things, and but there's HK, he still requires that attention. So I've learned a lot about patience. I really appreciate and value people that have children and maybe family members with disabilities. And one of the other things too about what I found out about HK, and probably this is true of many people with disabilities, HK has been blind and had cerebral palsy all of his life, so that's all he knows. And he's never let that give him pity. He's always just so positive, so enthusiastic. And I got a handicap placard for my vehicle, oh, maybe a year and a half after I met HK, so that if we were going places together, I could park near the entrance in a handicapped space.
Sure.
And one morning we were at a grocery store here in Brentwood where I live, and I parked in a handicapped space. And since he wasn't with me every day, if I put my placard in the glove box, it might not be the top document. It might be three or four. So I was flipping through the glove box trying to find my handicap placard, and HK said, "Mr. Bradford, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm looking for my handicap placard." And he said, "Well, I didn't know you were handicapped." And I said, "I'm not, knucklehead. You are." He said, "Oh, I forgot."
Wow.
And so I think sometimes people with disabilities, they have done what they are capable of doing for so long, they think that's normal. And HK was feeling sorry for me because he thought I was handicapped because I was getting the placard out of my glove box. So anyway, that's kind of, you know, that's the biggest thing. And, you know, I have two grown daughters. I never had a son. So this is with HK giving me the opportunity to be maybe a surrogate father to a young man. And it's been just a tremendous blessing for me and my wife, Brenda.
Well, it's been a tremendous blessing for us to be able to hear the story today of HK Derryberry and Jim Bradford. And, you know, HK, it's been such a joy to meet you, sir, and to get to talk with you a little bit. I know that you and Jim travel across the country and share your story together. And I just wonder, as we say goodbye, if you could tell one thing to the friends who are listening today, if you could give them one message, what do you think that would be, sir?
Anything in life is possible if you work hard, determine your capabilities. You can accomplish most anything in life within your capabilities. The only disability any of us have in life is a negative attitude. So I encourage all of you to always be positive. If you are ever down, depressed, just think things can't get any worse, just pick up the phone, call toll-free to OHK in Nashville, and I will give you a no-charge Faith Radio pep, money-back guaranteed pep talk. And all the ladies listening today, don't look
the day
over 18.
Well, HK and Jim, it's been such a blast talking with you today. And Jim, as we say farewell, we don't want to leave people without giving them a chance to get a copy of the book and learn more about this extraordinary story. Where can they go, sir, to get a copy of The Awakening of HK Derryberry?
Well, one of the easiest ways to do it for your listeners is to go to Amazon.com and just type in HK Derryberry, or The Awakening of H.K. Derryberry, either one, and the book pops up, and they can order from Amazon.com. Also, if there is a large bookstore in their area like Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, they can also purchase a book there as well. So it's basically in large bookstores across the country, and then also it can be ordered online through Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Christian Books as well, in addition to Amazon.
All right, gentlemen, it's been a real treat to have you. Thank you so much for your time, and we wish you the best as you continue to travel across America sharing this incredible story.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much, and I think the one thing I want to leave you with, for your listeners especially, HK's already said it very emphatically, but what I have learned in 17 years dealing with HK is that if you determine your capabilities, if you work hard, you maintain a positive attitude, and you never give up, anything in life is possible. Mm. Matthew 19:26 says, if God is in your life, anything is possible. And that, so if we have a mission, that's what it is. And thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.